Let's get now back into our discussions with our broadcast partners. We talked about at the end of the last segment, we'd be looking at some important information from Itamar Marcus. Itamar Marcus heads up an organization which is called Palestinian Media Watch. They have a website, palwatch.org. That's P-A-L-W-A-T-C-H, palwatch.org. It's available for you to go there and find out the latest information. And when you go there, be sure to sign up for the newsletter. They will alert you when something very important is taking place and you need to know about it. They'll get a hold of you. Itamar, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it. I want to talk about your latest release of information to the entire world, in fact, and that is about a summer camp that is being sponsored by the Palestinian Authority. That is the main body for the leadership of the Palestinian people in Israel. And they have named this summer camp after one of the most notorious terrorists in all of the history of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Talk to me about the name of this camp and how they came to the conclusion that they need to make this camp this name.
Well, Palestinians, for many years, the Palestinian Authority has been using terrorists as role models for the next generation. They name streets after terrorists. They name summer camps after terrorists. They name soccer tournaments after terrorists. This latest outrage is naming a summer camp after the terrorist Bilal Mughrabi, who hijacked the bus in 1978 and led to the killing of 37 people. She herself killed many of the people, and as she was killed on the bus and was dying, she took out a hand grenade and actually threw it at a family, killing a mother and her two children who were sitting together on the same chair, and the husband, who tried to stop it, had his legs blown off, and he survived. That's Dalal Mughrabi, and they have a summer camp now named for her, and in fact, it's for young women, and it's called Sisters of Dalal Mughrabi. You are participating in the camp of the Sisters of Dalal Mughrabi, is the message to the kids, meaning you are like her. You are like her. The governor of Jericho spoke at the ceremony, and he said that all of these people like Mughrabi should be beacons, should be lights for all of them in their activities. So what he's saying is, this is a role model for you. You girls should see this killer of 37 civilians as a role model. And this is Palestinian Authority. This is Fatah. This is not the Hamas. This is the mainstream, the ones who Israel is supposed to be talking with.
Well, of course, they're promoting terrorism that way. But I need to recall what you said to me last summer when we had conversations on this broadcast. You were telling us about the activities that take place of these summer camps. Now, the name of a notorious terrorist, the name of a camp, a summer camp for young Palestinian children is bad enough, but talk to us about the actual activities. What do the young children learn when they're at these Palestinian summer camps?
Well, the truth is that in recent years, they've been trying to hide it, but because they know that the world gets outraged at this kind of education of children. But there have been some camps, for example, recently that were exposed in Gaza, where they were learning violence, they were learning how to use guns, they were being taught how to use guns against the enemy, the Jewish enemy. So this is what we think of summer camp when you think of basketball and football. And they have summer camps, and they're thinking indoctrination, promoting hatred, making the people come out of the summer camps more willing to hate and more willing to fight than they went into the summer camps.
Are these camps actually sponsored by the Palestinian Authority, or who actually does pay for the operation of these summer camps?
Many of them are sponsored by the Palestinian Authority. Most of them are sponsored by the Palestinian Authority. Last year there was one additional one which had a whole division named for Dalal Mughrabi, and it was sponsored by Salam Fayyad, the Prime Minister himself. This one is by Fatah. Fatah is headed by Mahmoud Abbas, who's the chairman of the Palestinian Authority and the chairman of Fatah. So this is the mainstream. I want to mention something else that we're about to release tomorrow, because I think this will be interesting and important for your listeners. specifically. We haven't even released this yet to the media, but I'm just giving. There will be the Greek Orthodox Church in Gaza had a sit-down protest where they criticized the fact that five Christians were kidnapped and were forced to convert to Islam. And I'll just read it to you. The statement of the Greek Orthodox Church was, "The Islamic movement uses a dirty and dark, fear-inspiring approach. It employs heavy pressure. It extorts and uses undignified means such as chemical drugs for the purposes of control and sowing fear in the hearts of those kidnapped." So this was the official statement by the Orthodox Church in Gaza about what was going on there. Now, the next day, which was today, the Palestinian Authority then came out with another statement by some human rights group in Gaza, which a human rights group in Gaza you can't assume has any freedom and independence. But the human rights group in Gaza said that they have spoken to the families and they converted on their own free will. They actually quoted one of the people as well who said he converted on his own free will. But it's raising a serious question about what's going on in Gaza. We know there have been churches have been burned down in Gaza, the murders of Christians in Gaza. And now this, that the church, I can't imagine they would make this kind of a public protest if it wasn't based on something that the this radical Muslim group there is kidnapping and forcing and coercing people with these kind of threats to give up Christianity and accept Islam.
Itamar, I understand that the Christian community in the Gaza Strip was rather large several years ago, but it's dwindled almost to nothing. Would you attribute that disappearance of the Christians in the Gaza Strip to what you're reporting today?
Yes, absolutely. I'll just give you the numbers. The article ends and says there are only 3,500 Christians today living in Gaza. I don't know the exact figure, but it was many, many more just a number of years ago. I mean, that's virtually nothing when you're talking about a population of you know, far over a million people, and you've got 3,500 Christians. And even those 3,500 are being, according to this, being coerced and pressured and threatened to give up their beliefs.
Well, and again, let me just give a couple of numbers that I'll check with you right now. In the past, when Bethlehem was a thriving city, there was about 85% Christians in the community of Bethlehem and about 15% Muslims. With the signing of the Oslo Accords back in 1993, over the years that has changed. Those demographics now are about 85% Muslim and 15% Christian. Is that what you know as well?
Well, from what we understand, it's even lower than the 15%. It's probably lower than 10% today. The Christians have just disappeared from Bethlehem. It's no longer a Christian city. And under Israel, as you say, it was a Christian city. Gave it over to the Palestinian Authority. The same oppression came in. Palestinian Authority speaks a very good support of Christianity publicly. But in fact, they don't give the Christians any protection, and the numbers speak for themselves. They ran away. They ran away because they couldn't live there.
This is a report that's coming to you from Itamar Marcus. Itamar Marcus heads up the Palestinian Media Watch, and he looks at, with his staff, all the electronic media, what's going on there, radio and television, but in addition to that, the print media, keeping us abreast of what is happening. What a service he does offer. Again, that website, it's palwatch.org, PALWATCH, palwatch.org. Be sure to go there. Itamar, you're offering a service not only to us on this broadcast, but in reality to the world that is so needed at this time. Thank you for what you're doing, for what your people are doing. Appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, and I'm sure we'll be talking down the line again.
Always nice to talk with you, Jimmy, and to your listeners.